are on lesson number 9. I believe it's number 9 on page 55. Lesson 9 on page 55. Anybody need a book? Well, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Good to see Steve and Ella back from their trip. I understand you had a good time. That's great. Good to see Margaret here this morning. Always good to see Margaret. Number 9. If you fall, get up and try again. How do you, in your personal life every day, how do you go about preventing falls for you? I'm talking physically, around your house, around at work. What do you do? What are some of the things that you try to do in your life? Do what?
Keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on. That's good. Very good. I know somebody who went back in the house one time, fell, hurt themselves very badly, just went back in to get something they had left, getting ready to leave. And they fell, got hurt, so something was in the way. What else do you do? I'm sorry, this. Okay, loose clothes around, things like that. Loose rugs, thank you, excuse me. Loose rugs. That's very good. What are some other? Okay. What else do you do when you're out maybe somewhere else? I think you look for potential for things that will cause you to fall. And then walking around, I know it's good to use a handrail. You know, and working in nuclear plants, everything in nuclear plants is concrete and steel. You're going up and down, and there's no elevators in most of them. So you're going up and down stairs all the time. It's good to have a handrail because if you were to slip, hey, those concrete and steel stairs are unforgiving. There's several things that we do that way in life, and we make sure there's, I know like at night, or like for a lot of us at home, we'd leave some lights on so you can see middle of the night. You would make sure your path is clear. We've talked about that. A lot of things like that. Well, he's talking about here some things that we can do to prevent falling spiritually. So let's look at some of these things that he's got in here. I think a lot of people, a lot of times, have that feeling that, I've become a Christian now, everything's wonderful in life, everything's going to go just fine. And it's not always that kind of case because, you know, once you become a Christian, then the devil decides he's going to crank it up a notch or two. There's going to be more temptation. There's going to be some other issues there that you're going to have to face that way. But one of the things he talks about here on page 55, the first one is a perverse tongue. Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a forward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue, what? Falleth into mischief. Okay, so there's some things we can avoid that way. He also goes into a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are what? A snare. And we can see that to a lot of them, a snare to his soul. So he's talking about how some of these things, if we have a perverse tongue, if we have, we want to do things that are mischievous things, there's some of that it's going to work against us. James even talks about how that the tongue is unruly. It's an unruly evil. And we've talked about that in many, many different ways. Transgression is another thing that he gets into here. And one of the things we can avoid falling from the standpoint of being a Christian, and from our spiritual standpoint, is transgressions. However, transgressions are kind of common to us, are they not? We all have a tendency to do some things that are wrong, have a tendency sometimes to get drawn off into other areas. life, whether we've crossed a forbidden line, something like that. But transgression is one of those things that can be a fall that can be dangerous to us. But what's so bad about transgression? What is the one of the danger points about transgression in our life? Okay, we're separated from Christ. But what else? What I'm getting at one, the progressive part of it. What happens when we transgress? Sometimes, well, my point I'm trying to get at is if we stay there, we have a tendency to maybe like it more. It's one of those things where the longer you're in that kind of a situation, the more comfortable you get, right? And even if we know it was a mistake, we know it was an error on our part. Sometimes if we just linger there, it becomes more comfortable to us. That's the point I was wanted to get at, that we need to be careful about some of those things with being comfortable in it. He that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And that's what Brother Groves was talking about there. Then he also talks about here in Deuteronomy, Moses, the law of Moses, you shall not add to the word that I've commanded you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you. Another, there's several times through the Bible we are commanded to not add to, not take away from the word that's there. Transgression is something that's dangerous. And again, the longer we stay there, the more problem we can have in life, the harder it is sometimes to turn and come back. And some people may never make that turn, come back if they're not careful. So transgression is something we need to avoid if at all possible. And yet at the same time, we know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So our job is to make sure we don't stay in that kind of state in our mind, make sure we ask for some forgiveness, that we return to life and get back to what is right. Another thing, false teachers. How do we avoid false teachers? What can we do as a congregation? What can we do as members of the church to avoid false teachers? Study is one. Do you have a comment, Tom? Okay, something that we need to do to check up on speakers beforehand, and that's one of the things I think we try to do, Joy. I think that's what Paulette was talking about when studying. Yes, what is accurate? What's not? And the way for us to do that is to continue to study, to work at it, pay attention to what's going on, be diligent about it. Paul wrote in here in Galatians. And he was turning with the folks in Galatia were having trouble with folks who were trying to bind the law of Moses on them. And Paul made some strong comments here. We've talked about this in a previous class or two. But though we are an angel from heaven, and we've talked about that, if an angel walked in here and we knew it was an angel, it would be something I think most of us would pay attention to, wouldn't we? But yet Paul said, hey, wait a minute. I don't care if it's even an angel from heaven. If they bring a different doctrine than what we've taught you, let him be accursed. And that's something we've got to pay attention to and be careful about. Bible even tells us to not even invite these people into our house. We're talking about maybe even our physical house, because if we do that, we're participating in their false doctrine, Steve. That's true. I have seen that myself. I remember very well during some college years having some young people get up and make some comments, and I remember a couple of elders getting up right behind that and saying, no, we don't agree with this, and quoted some scripture right behind it to dispel that. That's a tough thing for elders to do a lot of times. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, if they're going to stand up for it, that they'll stand up against you or someone else, even if they had to. That's a good point. You know that kind of strength is there to support you. But I think, well, like Tom and Joel's talking about checking on, knowing what the truth is and checking on a speaker beforehand, that's sometimes that's difficult to do because people have changed their position. You can go back to some people that we have identified in the brotherhood who are now false teachers. You go back 10 years ago, the articles they wrote, the stand they took, just as scriptural and just as solid as could be. But for some reason, they have allowed their mind and their thinking to be converted to something else just a little bit. They're off key. So that's something we always have to watch for. And I think it's something that's... elderships are concerned with a lot across the country. Well, you can invite. Yeah, so you can invite them in for a study or something like that. But you could. That way, but you know, you cannot. I don't know, we wouldn't want to be well, for instance, we would not want to invite that speaker in here, would we?
No, but you just said that even in your own home.
Right. Well, let me clear. You could get drawn into their beliefs that way, but let me clarify what I was saying, and I didn't fully develop the thought. But going along with what Tom was talking about with investigate and make sure that a speaker that is brought in is sound. If my thoughts were, if you've got, and what the Bible's talking about, we know someone is not a sound speaker, he's not a sound preacher, we would not want to invite him into this congregation. And not only just because we don't want to give the impression that we're supporting what he's teaching, that type of thing. Phil? That's true. That's one way that people. That's one technique that people have often used in order to persuade people in the congregation to see things a little different. That very type of thing. False teachers is something we need to avoid and try to stay clear of at all costs if we can. Blind leaders. Avoiding blind leaders. And I think that's another thing that would be along similar lines of what we're talking about. Before we put men in the position of leadership, they need to be men that we can really trust, men that we know, men that we have some background in. And I've seen in years of things, and maybe you have as well, congregations who have put men into roles of leadership without them serving in some capacity for a while so that they really knew who they were, you really knew where they stood. And that can be a dangerous thing too. Blind leaders could be can be very dangerous. What can we do to avoid that? Other than just time, right? But you know, when you've got someone, maybe they stand before, like in a class like this to teach, you begin to understand what their background is. You begin to know a little bit more about them. But also, we need to know more about them when they're off-site here, outside the church building. What kind of person are they? What's their life like? It's a good thing for us to find those things out before we get too far involved. Joyce? Okay, if people don't know the truth themselves, that's very true. Another reason for us to study and work, and that's one of the reasons, again, that we provide a Sunday school class, we provide Wednesday night classes so we can study and learn these things. I really enjoy the David's question and answer time each month. That gives all of us an opportunity to ask some question on something we have a question about, a concern about, and get some Bible background on it. It also gives us a chance to take notes on what he's saying, go back home and read it and study it ourselves and get that set in our mind. So that's one way we can avoid blind leaders. Pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So one of those things that we can do maybe to avoid a spiritual fall is to be careful about that pride in our life. You know, we've got it made. We've got no problem. You'll never see me fall. You know, kind of like that pride that Peter had when Christ was facing crucifixion. And Peter said, well, I don't care if everybody else falls away. You don't worry about me. I'll be right there with you. What happened when they took him off? What happened to all of his disciples? They all fled, every one of them. Not a single one of them stood at that point in time, Peter included. Pride goeth before a fall. Among those things that God hates is a proud look. And a proud heart is a what? An abomination to the Lord. James says that God resists the proud. Pride can be a bad thing. That would be a dangerous position, too. I know what the Bible says, but I believe, boy, it would be a dangerous position. Sure would. So it's one of those things we need to caution ourselves about so that we don't develop that kind of a pride and go before a fall. Another thing he talks about is unbelief. The Jews were proud of their father Abraham, right? And they wanted to follow a lot of things there, but a lot of them just wanted to hang on to the old law. They did not want to believe that Christ was who he was and what Christ was trying to bring to them. They keep wanting to hang on to, and even after Christ was there and after the church was established, so many of them still wanted, like we talked about earlier in this last evening, they still wanted to bind the law of Moses on fellow Christians. So unbelief was one of those things that even Christ had to deal with in his lifetime. And I think we see the same sort of thing with people out here in the world. Unbelief is there. A lot of people just scorn at people who waste their time going to church. People who have religious conviction. I remember going back just years ago in the situation out in, I believe it was Oklahoma, with the that came in the church where the church withdrew fellowship from a lady because of infidelity in her life. And I remember being Garland Elkins being on the Phil Donahue show. I remember people mocking at him and what he was. He would quote the Bible to them, but they mocked at him. They laughed. They scorned what he was saying. Would not listen at all to what the Bible had to say. They were not going to believe it, no matter. But you know, someday they will. Unfortunately, it'll be too late for them. We want to avoid that. Phil? And the more we learn that way, the better off we are. That's very true, though. Good point. We have the opportunity that way to learn more, he was saying, so that we can apply it to our lives and know what is true and what's not. But one of those things we can avoid, if we can, we need to help other people avoid it as well, is unbelief. Number 7, a lack of counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And we can see that, I think, even from a secular life as well as a spiritual life. Is anybody in here expert in everything? No, we're not. Even if we might think we are, there are areas in life where we don't need to do things. If you're not very good at understanding electricity and wiring and things like that, you best be careful around your house if you get into a supply box, or even if you're handling something else in your house, right? If you don't know, you better get some wise counsel, or you can end up dead. Yet at the same time, everybody does not know that. Other people are not good at maybe automobile mechanics, but then there are some people who are. And if we get some wise counsel, that's a good thing. Church is the same. We can get together and study things and learn from one another and use the wisdom of people who've been there before, who've been tested and tried, and who know the Bible, put some things together for some wise counsel. Safety in numbers, that counsel. I think maybe it was last week I mentioned that a lot of times if we'll just get some other opinions on something, I don't care. We talked about last week, even if you're buying a house, get some opinions from some other people as to whether this is a good house to buy, a good location, that type of thing, so that that will help you make a decision, and it helps us in spiritual matters as well. Again, wise counsel is a good thing to have. You just don't want to just get anybody's opinion. If you stop in Walmart and start asking somebody's opinion, you'll get opinion all over the wall. But if you go to the Bible, and go to people who know the Bible, you can get some wise counsel from that. I'm surprised a lot of times how Christians don't seem to want to get counsel from older folks. Sometimes we just want to do it ourselves. As an elder, a lot of times I see things that go on in a congregation, and I wonder, sure it would be nice if we had an opportunity to speak with those folks. We had an opportunity to provide some counsel there. But what happens a lot of times is elderships don't get brought into the problem until it's already exploded. And then somebody comes and says, hey, I need some help putting my life back together. And sometimes a lot of that, not always, but sometimes a lot of that might be prevented if someone would seek counsel ahead of time. But we're all kind of independent, aren't we? We're fiercely independent in a lot of ways. And sometimes that's can be dangerous if we're not careful. Any other comments someone had? Bob?
Yeah, Mark, I was thinking about this.
Now, if you lost perspective, what now? Right. If you'll stay with those folks, then that's true. You can stay on track. And that's another good thing about being at services, being at Sunday school class, or class on Wednesday, or wherever, from the standpoint that it gives us that opportunity, kind of like Phil was talking about there, to have that opportunity to learn more, that opportunity to be grounded better, that opportunity to pick up more information that helps to concrete our stand in the Bible. So, good point. But a lack of counsel is another thing that can cause us to fall, and I think that's what Bob is trying to say. If we don't stay there, we can lose that perspective if we don't watch ourselves. Materialism, another thing that can cause us to fall. Materialism is an enormous problem in our life. A lot of things in the world right now, look how many people, what is it they say, the average credit card debt in the United States is $8,000 or something like that per person or per family. I guess I couldn't sleep at night if I owed that kind of money. It just scared me to death, especially when you look at the interest rates they're charged. And then at the same time, though, look at all of these 24/7 money lenders out here on TV ads and all. I don't know, but I think the going rate in there is like 25% or something like that, more in loan, isn't it? I don't know. Once you get tied into something like that, it'd be very difficult to get out, Terry. How do you get an interest rate of 200%? Well, the only thing you can do when you get in a case like that, I guess, is just file bankruptcy and go, I don't know. That's just wise counsel will help people not get in that situation. But materialism and all these, we're constantly bombarded with ads to have this. This is the latest thing. You know, you need this. You need this. You can't live without this. You've got to have this. And it just doesn't, it's easy to get caught up in it. And the younger people, it's easy to get caught up in it too. Carol? Carol thinks we need a law, maybe even a federal law, that you've got to go get some financial counseling before you can get a credit card. Oh, wait a minute. That's everybody out there is advertising credit card. What's in your wallet, you know? It's just a common, you know, you can pick up a credit card and transfer this debt over to that card for no interest for 18 months. Wow, that's wonderful. And people jump on that bandwagon. Next thing you know, they've got 6, 7, 8 credit cards. And just materialism is one of those things that can hold us back. Failure to grow. Babes are expected to grow. If you had a child and they weren't putting on any weight, they weren't growing in stature, they weren't learning to walk, it'd concern you, wouldn't it? It'd scare you to death. you'd be sure to seek out some wise counsel in that, wouldn't you? You sure would. You'd go to a doctor and then another doctor if you needed to, and another to find out, to make sure, see what's wrong with this child. Well, what about us as Christians if we don't grow, if we don't develop, if we don't mature? Same sort of thing that we need to be careful about here. If we're not strong enough to eat meat, as Paul was talking about, or Peter was talking about, but as many in that case, then Hebrews, for when time you ought to be teachers, you still have need that someone teach you again. And that's one of those things that I think we need to work on as Christians. Make sure that, and I think you're doing that. That's why you're here today. You're trying to make sure that, you know, you're on track. We're continuing to add to our base of knowledge. We're continuing to work on those types of things. Temptation, that's another thing that can cause us to fall spiritually. If we fall from the standpoint of temptation, what happens? What does temptation do to us?
Most of the time,
it causes you to sin. You know, the temptation is not what causes us to sin, but what happens. We give in, right? We yield to it sometimes. And again, we even may resist, and we may resist and resist. But if we're constantly in that position where that temptation is coming our way, someday we may be a little weaker than other days. We may give in. Where 6 months ago we would have never given in, we would never even considered that. But all of a sudden, one of these days, maybe we might end up yielding to it. Temptation can be a dangerous thing for it. There are some various things that we can do here. So he's mentioned 10 things here that we need to watch out for to help us to not fall spiritually. The perverse tongue, don't be pulled into transgressions, don't listen to false teachers, don't be careful about blind leaders, don't get that pride in our life. Unbelief, lack of counsel, materialism, failure to grow, stay away from temptations. Got a couple of things I want to get to as we kind of close this lesson. Next week we'll go into lesson 10. But let me ask you this a little bit. We're talking about falling. Is falling always bad? Yeah, let me ask you another way. Is failure always a bad thing? Not if you learn from it. That's very true. How many of us in here have made the comment in our mind or somewhere else, I'll never do that again? Has anybody done that? Everybody's done that, haven't we? We learn from those things that we've done sometimes. So failure is not always a bad thing. What's bad about failure? Pardon? If it continues, if we don't get back up, if we don't recover, if we don't learn from it. Matthew, the 25th chapter, remember the parable of the three servants who were given talents, 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1? Do you reckon that guy who had 5 talents had any failures? Do you reckon that everything he touched turned to gold? I see a lot of people shaking it. No, probably not. We're not told about his failures, but how many of you in life, in business maybe, for instance, have gone into business and had, this didn't work too good. That wasn't too good. But you've learned from it, right? And what else did you do? Brother Groves, you got something I can see the gears turning in your head.
Yeah, Brother Groves took all of his resources at age 42 and put them in a business. And he saw right quick. And this thing, well, actually I was baptized into Christ. And I saw, hey, this business is okay, it's legal.
Brother Groves said it. Now, this 93-year-old Christian here, okay, is telling us at age 42, he took all of his resources and put them into this one thing, this automobile, racing automobile lubrication, if I got it right. Anyway, put all this into this, and then learned later on it wasn't a good move. And a few years later, he's got, if I got him right, he had a 12-year-old car and enough furniture for three rooms. Had to start all over type thing. But what did you learn from that?
I learned you better know what you're doing before you invest your life's resources.
Better to know what you're doing before. Yeah.
But on the good side of that, I had to become a Christian then. And that's what turned me around from selling a product or products that really had lies back in the book. And I thank goodness I called my former boss.
He got his job back and built all that back. But I think something like that has happened to a lot of us in various ways. Phil, I need to wrap this up right quick.